18-4. Let me repeat that. 18 wins, 4 losses. That is the Celtics' amazing record. Can they keep up their momentum tonight against the 76ers? I'm just going to say yes. Why not? I'm the eternal optimist, Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, who's here to beat back my optimism about the Celts.
Not a bit of it.
Okay, good. I'm glad, because even Golden State, right? Golden State's coach says the Celtics are the team of the future in the East. Is he right?
No. They're the team of the present.
Of the present!
And he's absolutely wrong. This happens every once in a while. I remember years ago when somebody said, you know, in 2 years the Cleveland Indians are going to be really great, and then they were great that year. So I think the Celtics are the team of the present, and of course the winning streak is over, and that was the 16-game winning streak was the thing that got lots of people interested who might not otherwise have cared about the Celtics at this point in the year particularly. But winning streaks are not really the point in the NBA. It's a very long season, and the point is to keep everybody healthy, to distribute the minutes so nobody's angry at the coach, and to keep everybody buying into whatever system the coach has developed for the team to continue moving forward. And so far, that's been the thing that has impressed me most about the Celtics. It's
right.
The extent to which everybody on the roster is contributing. And even on nights when they aren't able to put together that great third quarter or fourth quarter comeback, they still look as if they all know what they're doing. They all know their roles, and they're playing magnificently well.
I mean, it's an even better or more laudable because so many of the guys are new.
Yeah, and some of those new guys obviously are tremendously important to what the Celtics have been able to accomplish.
Do you like how I lumped them all together?
And again, you could talk about Al Horford. You can certainly talk about some of these new fellas, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. But you have to give a tremendous amount of credit to the coach for kind of keeping this collection of people who don't know each other very well together.
Yeah. And also, I'm just glad that you and I don't have to debate on what makes a streak anymore, right? Because sometimes we've been here at this table saying, is 2 a streak? Is 3? Now we know at least 16 constitutes a streak.
Yes. And around the NBA, there's no doubt that streak mattered.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's turn then to the NFL, because last night, a players' coalition representing NFL players who have been protesting and taking a knee during the national anthem announced that they've reached a tentative deal with the league. The league's agreed to commit some $89 million over 7 years to social justice issues important to certain communities, specifically criminal justice reform, law enforcement, education. But the deal won't go into effect until it's agreed upon at the NFL's owners' meeting in December. So your take, Bill.
What could possibly go wrong there?
I tried to keep the doubt out of my voice.
Yeah, I'm a little bit skeptical about this, just for a couple of reasons. One is the coalition that you mentioned has now splintered because some of them are perfectly happy to listen to the owners. As they say, we'll put a lot of money into some of these causes that matter to you. And some of them are saying, no, wait, this is coming with the proviso that we stop protesting. And even if that hasn't been explicitly stated, and some people say that it has, the implication is that we would have to stop taking a knee or raising our fists or doing whatever we're doing in order to express our dismay with the social circumstances in this country at this time. And they're not willing to do that. And more power to them. The league should not be able to buy off free speech.
Yeah. And I mean, on that point, of course, the agreement couldn't also include the proviso that they hope the president stops tweeting.
No, the president, as far as I know,
he's going to do what he wants.
Is unbound in all respects, including this one.
Yeah. But nevertheless, I mean, let's say that the owners in December do agree to go forward and commit and vote to commit almost $90 million. It's not an insignificant sum.
No, but how is it going to be committed? Where is it going to go? And if the committee that decides where the money goes is in fact dominated by ownership and league officials, which is what it looks like according to what I've read, the players won't have the final say on where the money goes, and it will begin to resemble the kind of publicity campaign, public relations effort that the concussion settlement resembles, something that makes the league look good without really managing to address at all the dire circumstances of the players who suffer brain damage as a result of their work.
Yeah. Well, let's turn now to something not at all less controversial, Bill, and that is Russia and the Olympics.
Oh, no controversy
and doping.
Nobody even knows whether they'll be there.
Yes, because the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, has until December 5th when they're going to make an announcement about whether or not the Russian team will be allowed to compete in the 2018 Winter Olympics. Again, ongoing controversy over systemic doping amongst Russian athletes. And just to add to it, yesterday the New York Times had excerpts from the diaries of Grigory Rodchenko. He's the former director of Russia's anti-doping lab, but who was implicated in helping Russian officials systemically dope athletes there. So I just want to make an aside point. Anyone who hasn't seen the documentary Icarus about Rodchenko, go to your Netflix queue right now and put it in. It's amazing. Okay. But anyway, as for the Russians in 2018, Bill, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think it's kind of amazing that we're at the end of November and nobody's sure whether they're going to be there or not. I mean, you know, the final coats of paint are going on the venue even as we speak. So that's part of what amazes me. And then the other is the various different ways that this could ultimately shake out. One is the Russians will be prohibited from participating in the Olympics at all. One is that some Russians will be prohibited and some will be able to come and compete. And one is that the Russians that do compete will have to compete in uniforms that bear no insignia of Russia, and there will be no Russian flags. And then another possibility is the Russians have announced that they may boycott the whole thing out of disgust for this entire series of events. The people that I feel, maybe this is a crazy way to view it, but the people that I feel a little bit sorry for are the athletes from other countries who would very much like to see the Olympics as an opportunity to compete against the very best athletes from around the world. And if you remember the two recent, fairly recent editions of the Olympics where there had been boycotts, one by the United States, one by the then USSR, that was kind of what happened. That people sort of thought, oh, gee, yeah, somebody won a gold medal, but what a shame that some of the best athletes in the world weren't there to compete for it. It's not supposed to work out that way. And it's not that I'm sympathizing with a country that did systematic doping.
I was going to say, like,
quite obviously.
What's worse, not having the Russians there or having dope Russians there?
I still feel bad for the athletes who are competing and wish to compete against the best in the world.
Yeah. Well, Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs on WBUR every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And we love to have him every week here at Radio Boston as well. Thanks, Bill.
My pleasure. Thank you, Meghna.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.